Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
This year marks the 26th anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party's, CCP, brutal persecution of Falun Dafa. Around the world, practitioners held grand marches, rallies, and candlelight vigils to raise awareness of these ongoing human rights violations and to call for an end to the atrocities, most urgently, the forced organ harvesting of prisoners of conscience in China. The Falun Dafa events also drew attention to the CCP's transnational repression, including intimidation and harassment of Falun Dafa practitioners and dissidents living abroad. From city centers to embassies and parliaments, these events encouraged people to take a stand against these crimes. Numerous elected officials expressed support for Falun Dafa. They also condemned the persecution with its live organ harvesting in the strongest of terms. Commemorative events marking July 20th, the date the CCP officially launched its campaign against Falun Gong in 1999, were held in major cities across the globe, including Washington, D.C., New York's Chinatown, Illinois, and California in the U.S., as well as in Canada, Australia, Indonesia, Sweden, South Korea, New Zealand, France, Germany, the UK, Singapore, Japan, Taiwan, Finland, the Netherlands, and Italy.
USA. A human rights forum took place on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. this week. Congressman Chris Smith, co-chairman of the Congressional Executive Commission on China and a senior member of the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, underscored the severity and intensity of the CCP's campaigns to suppress and silence the voices of dissidents and other pro-democracy advocates, including those who escaped to the United States. He issued a press release on July 18th that condemned the CCP's persecution of Falun Gong and interference with Shenyuan performing arts. Representative Smith described the CCP's numerous threats against Shenyuan performances, which included targeting the performance venues, event sponsors, as well as show performers and their families in China. In addition to the CCP's transnational repression, Representative Smith also criticized the barbaric practice of forced organ harvesting. He urged attendees to ask their senators to bring the Stop Forced Organ Harvesting Act to the Senate floor for a vote. It has already passed with a majority vote in Congress.
Australia. Falun Dafa practitioners demonstrated the exercises and introduced the spiritual practice during the HOTA Hawker Twilight Market on July 12. The community event took place in the state of Queensland and featured an open-air food market consisting of 150 food stalls, unique handmade products, and artists performing fire shows, performing on stilts, and Chinese lion dances, all displayed under colorful lanterns. The bustling crowd strolled among the booths and enjoyed the weekend festival. Niaz Kar went to the market with his wife and daughter and saw the Falun Dafa booth. He wanted to learn more about the practice, so a practitioner gave him a copy of Juan Falun, the main text of the practice. He said he would go to the local practice site to learn the exercises. He added, I think Dafa is a belief that tells you to let go of worldly material things. If you let go of worldly material things, when your mind is free of stress, the nature of truth, compassion, and forbearance will appear. I think this is the kind nature of human beings.
Worldwide, the Inter-Parliamentary Alliance on China, IPAC, is a global alliance founded in 2020. With over 250 parliamentary members from 36 countries. Every year, it has issued a statement in July to condemn the Chinese Communist Party's brutalities, especially forced organ harvesting. On July 20th, IPAC issued a new statement on the X social media platform. It said in part, "In Xi's China, the persecution of religious and spiritual groups is not limited to the Falun Gong. Christian churches are demolished, Tibetan Buddhists face cultural erasure, and Uyghur and other predominantly Muslim communities remain subject to internment and forced labor." IPAC reaffirms the universal right to freedom of thought and freedom of religion as is enshrined in international law. No person should face persecution for their beliefs. We stand with Falun Gong practitioners and all other persecuted communities in the People's Republic of China who are denied their Article 18 rights, and we reiterate our call to our governments to uphold and defend religious freedom worldwide by holding the Chinese authorities accountable for their abuses.
USA. Falun Dafa practitioners in San Diego, California, held an Art of Jen Shan Ren International Exhibition and a candlelight vigil at Bayfront Park on July 12th to mark 26 years of persecution in China. Local officials and representatives from the city attended the event and commended the practitioners. A signature drive calling on the U.S. Senate to pass the Falun Gong Protection Act received strong support. The second district supervisor of the San Diego County Board of Supervisors, Joel Anderson, issued a proclamation recognizing the San Diego Falun Dafa Association for their untiring contributions to public education, the arts, and the preservation of spiritual freedom. Jim Desmond, the fifth district supervisor of the San Diego County Board of Supervisors, also presented a citation that commended Falun Gong practitioners. Michelle Metzschel, a city council member from El Cajon in San Diego County, viewed the exhibition and said, "I want to share your stories and show the American people what Falun Gong does and how you promote peace, love, compassion, and sincerity."
The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. Mr. Zhao Jiyuan of Shenyang City was arrested in 2019 and stood trial. After the hearing, the judge asked his son to persuade his father to admit his guilt, promising to give him only 3 years if he complied, or sentence him to 7 years should he refuse. Mr. Zhao insisted that he had broken no law by practicing Falun Gong and was sentenced to 7.5 years. Due to abuses in custody, Mr. Zhao developed many physical conditions. He fell into critical condition in 2022. News came in early June that he was on the verge of death after having two heart attacks earlier this year. He died in prison on July 4, 2025. He was 71 years old. When examining Mr. Zhao's body, his family noticed scars on his ankles from wearing shackles and several bruises on his thighs. One of his nostrils was bigger than the other, likely due to the insertion of a feeding tube. The family didn't see any other visible injuries and agreed to cremate his body.
A Heilongjiang province resident died in a detention center less than 2 months after she was arrested for practicing Falun Gong. She was 59. Ms. Wang Xuxi's death is a result of the intensified persecution of local Falun Gong practitioners by the Jixi City Government, Political and Legal Affairs Committee, and 610 Office since early 2025. They selected the district as a pilot location and instructed law enforcement to closely monitor practitioners starting in April. The police also posted rewards for the locals to report on the practitioners. Ms. Wang was arrested in May and taken to a detention center. There, she held a hunger strike to protest the arbitrary detention and was force-fed. She became seriously ill and was taken to the hospital for treatment on July 13th. As soon as she recovered a little, she was brought back to the detention center on July 17th, only to die there at 3 a.m. on July 19th. Ms. Wong, the youngest of three sisters, was not the only one persecuted for her faith in Falun Gong. Her two siblings have also been repeatedly targeted.
While serving a seven-year term for practicing Falun Gong, a Tangshan City resident was abused to the point of becoming seriously ill. The prison authorities did not release him on parole until he was on the verge of death. Mr. Tian Shisheng was arrested at home by over a dozen police officers. They seized his wife, Ms. Tian Shirlan, also a Falun Gong practitioner. The couple were later convicted, with Mr. Tian sentenced to 7 years and his wife receiving a 5-year sentence. Due to abuse in prison, Mr. Tian began to fall sick with his condition worsening. His request for a medical examination was always denied, until one day a doctor examined him but implied that it was too late for effective treatment and questioned why he hadn't been brought in earlier. He was later released on parole on health grounds. The local police kept harassing Mr. Tian, ordering him to report to the local judicial bureau on a regular basis. He struggled to recover and died on July 18, 2025, at the age of 66.
A Hebei province resident was recently admitted to prison to serve a 3.5-year term for practicing Falun Gong. Ms. Zhang Himei, 58, was arrested in a police sweep in April last year and detained for 10 days in a resort. The police brought in psychology experts to work on her and other practitioners, through means such as interrogation, intimidation, and sleep deprivation. When the practitioners remained firm in Falun Gong, the police transferred them to a detention center. At her trial, Ms. Zhang insisted that she didn't violate any law in practicing Falun Gong or by trying to be a good person. While she was incarcerated, Ms. Zhang was subjected to frequent physical and mental torture. Ms. Zhang's mother, Ms. Yang Shenxiang, was also subjected to long-term harassment for practicing Falun Gong. While Ms. Zhang was in prison, Ms. Yang was so worried about her that her health declined quickly. She passed away in March 2024, 1 month before Ms. Zhang's latest arrest.
Shenyun artists joined march in New York against 26-year persecution of Falun Gong. Thousands of Falun Gong practitioners held a grand march in Manhattan's Chinatown on July 20th, calling for an end to the decades-long persecution of Falun Gong and its far-reaching transnational repression of the practice and Shenyun. They also expressed their support for the 449 million Chinese people who have quit the CCP. The procession included the Tianguo Marching Band and hundreds of Shenyun artists. Levi Brody, executive director of the Falun Gong Information Center, was present at the march and said that since March 2024, there have been 154 documented bomb threats or mass shooting threats against Shenyun around the world. One of Shenyun's MCs, Li Shai Lemish, condemned the CCP's transnational repression that targets the performing arts company. He said Shenyun is using art to expose the CCP's lies, and it has touched people from all walks of life. This is the reason why we are here today. We are telling the world what's happening in China, and we are speaking on behalf of those Falun Gong practitioners who are being persecuted in China. Shenyun principal dancer Ethan Guo shared that his grandfather was persecuted to death for practicing Falun Gong. He felt emotional participating in the march and called doing so a precious opportunity. He explained, "In Shenyun, we are all Falun Gong practitioners. Many of our family members have been arrested, tortured, or even persecuted to death. It's our responsibility to come here, speak up for them, express our support for them, and call for an end to the persecution." Another Shenyun dancer, Lu Zhixing, is the nephew of a woman named Gao Rongrong, who was disfigured from torture in a labor camp in 2004 and tortured to death in June 2005. She was 37 years old. Lou said, "My aunt's death was sad and heartbreaking to our entire family. For me personally, it was a very painful experience." A supporter of Shen Yun named An Chiang said, "Shen Yun performers are so pure and righteous. They are confident, bright, and poised. I feel proud to be with them, and I feel I'm fully energized." He decided to join the march and held a banner that supported the Falun Gong Protection Act and condemned the CCP's forced organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners. Another spectator, computer teacher Oscar Chen from Manhattan, said that he admired practitioners and condemned the CCP for exporting the suppression of Falun Gong onto U.S. soil. Yang Maoshen, a small business owner in Flushing, New York, traveled to Manhattan specifically for the march. He said, "Everything the Falun Gong group has done is fighting for the most basic human rights and freedom for the Chinese people. They've done a huge service to us, so supporting Falun Gong is supporting ourselves." A supporter named Ma Ingzi said, "Practicing Falun Gong is truly good for one's health. My mother-in-law used to be bedridden, but she recovered after practicing Falun Gong." He said that he supported the practice and admires the founder of the practice, Mr. Li Hongzhi. Ohio Consulting Company owner Kari Johnston was on vacation with her family when they saw the march. She said that the practitioners' persistent efforts to speak up for their faith will have a far-reaching impact on the world.
German parliamentarian reveals slanderous letter from Chinese consulate at rally. A Falun Gong rally took place on July 19th in Dusseldorf, the state capital of North Rhine-Westphalia. The event marked the CCP's 26-year persecution of the practice. Member of State Parliament Frank Borner spoke at the event. Practitioners read letters of support from many other federal and state members of parliament. Dr. Andreas Weber, representing the organization Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, attended the rally. Practitioners did the exercises and told people about the CCP's various crimes against humanity. Attendees signed a petition calling for an end to the human rights abuses, and some Chinese citizens quit the CCP. A statement listing the names of 30 practitioners who recently died from the persecution in China, as well as a brief narration of the torture they went through, was read. Hand-drawn images of the tortured instruments used and photos of several practitioners who died from the torture were displayed. Member of State Parliament Frank Borner has attended many Falun Gong rallies over the years. Addressing the rally, he pointed out that suppression of the peaceful practice by the CCP is baseless, and he made an appeal to end the persecution. He also showed a letter he received from the Chinese consulate in Dusseldorf after he spoke at a Falun Gong rally last year. The letter vilified and slandered Falun Gong, repeating the lies fabricated in China. Mr. Borner called it foolish. A practitioner from China then described the torture he was subjected to while he was detained in a labor camp, including forced labor, brainwashing, and not being allowed to sleep. He was made to go through physical examinations 3 times in 2 months, including thorough X-ray test. Mr. Borner said, "I'm extremely worried after learning of his experience. It even made my hair stand on end." He added, "I will come to the rally next year." Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting representative Andreas Weber attended the rally and explained that it has been 2 decades since the first witness came out to publicly expose the CCP's crimes of organ harvesting. Dr. Weber cautioned, "When we as doctors and others in the medical field transfer patients to China for organ transplants or partner with Chinese companies in the field, we unwittingly become accomplices to this crime. Due to the lure of financial gains, we unconsciously participate in organ harvesting and persecuting Falun Gong. We become a tool of the CCP in this suppression of Falun Gong. Even deliberately ignoring this crime, we must absolutely stop this from happening." Rally attendee Ms. Hei K. Schultz worked in the mental health field. She used to believe only in Western classical medicine and the effectiveness of medication. Through studying Qigong, she experienced the healing power of the mind and said, "Eastern ancient wisdom far surpasses Western medicine in this regard. Many people are no longer responsible for their own health. They stopped being responsible for their thoughts. They only know they should take medicine when they are ill. They know nothing about the spiritual realm." She could not believe organ harvesting was true when she first read the flyer. She thought the organs were taken after a person dies. Ms. Schultz said, "I only realized today the CCP is not just persecuting people. It is killing people through forced organ removal. It also does ads claiming how great its surgery is, how shameful and ridiculous."
Falun Dafa practitioners call on Malaysia's chief secretary to investigate mass arrest. The Malaysian police arrested 76 Falun Gong practitioners who were studying a Falun Gong book on April 13th in a private residence in the capital city of Kuala Lumpur. The arrest took place 2 days before Chinese leader Xi Jinping's state visit. The police raid was suspected to be the result of pressure from the CCP. This was the first mass arrest of Falun Gong practitioners in Malaysia. 47 Malaysian citizens and 29 Chinese citizens were arrested that day. Some of the arrested were elderly and minors, with the youngest being 10 years old. A number of Chinese practitioners had fled China to escape the CCP's persecution of Falun Gong and have retained UN refugee status. During the interrogation, the police repeatedly asked the practitioners whether they knew that Xi was visiting Malaysia and if they had plans to hold an event during Xi's visit. The practitioners were released within 2 weeks of Xi's departure. On July 15th, 3 months later, several of the detained practitioners visited the Office of Chief Secretary to the Government of Malaysia. They submitted a statement detailing the arrest of the 76 practitioners and demanded that the government conduct an investigation into the incident and called on the authorities to do the following. 1. Revisit the incident on April 13th and ensure a fair and transparent investigation. The process must be constitutional and comply with human rights principles. 2. Ensure that law enforcement respects Malaysian citizens' freedom of religion and speech. 3. Provide an official statement for the reason of the practitioner's arrest and detention, as well as the direction of any future investigations. 4. Return personal belongings illegally confiscated from the practitioners. In order to establish an effective communication channel and improve rapport between the public and law enforcement, the practitioners suggested that the government open up a dialogue. The government representative acknowledged the practitioners' requests and promised to relay their statement to the chief secretary. The staff members present gained a better understanding of the situation, as well as basic facts about Falun Gong. The practitioners also presented copies of their statement to the Department of Interior, as well as to the local police bureau, and asked the authorities to give attention to the matter. The practitioners were satisfied with the outcome of their meeting, and one said, "The step we took opened up the door for effective communication with the government."
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.